No stranger to the banks of the Mississippi River. Aaron Brown usually at every one of those Mississippi River festivals. Hooting and hollering as he enjoys the music festival. He's joining us by Zoom this morning. Hey, Aaron.
Hi, Heidi and John. I don't know if hooting is what I do much of, but I am often there enjoying the music, yes.
You do like to drop your G's, though, right? And the hooting and hollering.
Sometimes, yeah, if I need to. When I'm around the right kind of people.
Well, we're going to talk with Aaron about the local media landscape. Now, people have been saying this for years, probably since you were a punk kid in journalism school, about the changing landscape of media. But things are really changing right now due to a lot of different things. Aaron Brown is a journalist and a college instructor. He's a radio producer, and he's joining us now on KAXE, KBXE. Things are changing, aren't they?
They certainly are. And yeah, I like to say I graduated from a journalism school at UWS in 2001. And I like to say I was the last unironic print journalism major. Everything since then has been kind of you have to have kind of a fatalistic streak to get into the business ever since. But yeah, it's changed a lot. I remember the issues then were a lot like the issues now. People wondered what the internet was going to do to newspaper. The papers were consolidating or shrinking, or literally shrinking, reducing the size of the paper that they printed on and things like that. And here we are 20 years later, and it's come full circle. It's a lot of the things that were predicted are starting to happen right here in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about it. You know, earlier this morning we had Julie Crabb on, who is a substitute mail carrier still, and she talked about she's already seeing the difference with some of the Duluth News Tribune. First of all, she said it's very thin, but they're only going to be 2 days a week, and she was talking about the older folks she delivers to and how much they rely on their newspapers. And I think sometimes we don't think about like how much it affects all kinds of things. I mean, that's going to affect the postal service as well, how much stuff is coming through the mail. But let's talk a little bit about the Duluth News Tribune, and then of course the news about the consolidation of the Hibbing Daily Tribune and the Mesabi Daily News. Tell us a little bit about these.
Well, these are two different companies. Forum Communication owns the Duluth News Tribune. They own the Fargo Forum and Bemidji paper, several of the newspapers here on the western side of northern Minnesota. And then the other company is Adams Publishing, that owns the Hibbing Daily Tribune and Mesabi Daily News, which have now merged. And both of these companies confronted the same exact problem, which is over time they've lost ad revenue to the internet, to internet advertising. Things like, the bread and butter of newspaper ads are usually car dealers. And for a long time, when I started out, it was classified ads were a big part of what paid for the newspaper. You might think that you pay your 50 cents or a dollar for a newspaper, and that's what pays the bills for the newspaper. The truth is that's only a fraction of the money that pays for the newspaper. Ad revenue is the big driver, and the loss of ad revenue in daily newspapers has been huge. As more people buy their cars online, as more people buy and sell stuff online using Facebook or other social media sites, Craigslist, etc., That's come right out of the hide of the newspaper business. And that's been going on for a while. And then COVID hit. And what COVID did was shut down all the local businesses that, that would have normally advertised, made it impossible for them to advertise. And they quickly lost almost all their revenue for a period of time, which totally threw off their money situation. So the Duluth News Tribune, confronted with this, decided to reduce costs in this way. They went down to twice a week print publication. They send it through the mail, which is different than before. They used to deliver it. And in doing so, they reduced paper, ink, printing costs, and delivery costs. On the other side of the equation, their rival company, Adams, took two of their 6 days a week newspapers, the Mesabi Daily News based in Virginia and the Hibbing Daily Tribune, and merged them into the Mesabi Tribune. And they're still 6 days a week. In fact, they're the only daily newspaper left in northeastern Minnesota after the Duluth News Tribune's decision. So that is a different way to go. And so both of them are stressing their web product is still there. They're trying to get people to advertise online as well as in the print product. But you see two different decisions based on the same market conditions, which is an interesting experiment. It'll be interesting to see which of these companies holds up better over the long haul with the changes that have happened.
So, Aaron, do you ever see a day where there may not be a newspaper? Because, you know, there's the old adage of, like, reading a book, you want to hold it in your hand versus looking at your Kindle and a newspaper. It's one of my favorite Sunday morning things is to sit down and read two newspapers. Do you think there's going to be a time where there might not be a newspaper and everything will be online?
Well, for most people, that time has already come. Yep. Most people don't touch newspapers. You do, I do, I do the crossword. You know, when I was the editor, I was in my early 20s, and I used to just, I couldn't believe these people who would call whenever we screwed up something with the crossword puzzle, like printed the wrong answers or printed a puzzle 2 days in a row. That was the worst. And by accident. And so I do the crossword. And so people are having different experiences with the media. I know some people, I say my age, I'm not the young punk I once was, I guess, but I know some people, say in their 20s or 30s, who do read newspapers, but they're a smaller subset of a larger group that gets most of their news online through either through the newspaper websites themselves or in the snake pit of social media, which is spreading around all kinds of stuff, some of which is news. It's definitely a change, but I think that there's always going to be a market for some kind of a paper because there are things about it. It's analog, it's offline. You can take it with you. You can take it into a coffee shop. You don't have to be on a screen. I think there will always be a market for some kind of newspaper, but we're seeing in our region that there's only so much of a market in every little town and every little place. And there's going to be some consolidation, some regionalization of certain papers. Certain papers have done reasonably well in recent years. Others have done very poorly. And it's just because people are kind of falling back on the papers that they, you know, that they can rely on. As Julie noted, it's the papers are thinner because of cost savings. And the papers are as thick as the ad content. You'd be surprised to know, again, not to harp on this, but when I was an editor, you might say, well, I must have made the newspaper based on how much news there was that day. My friends, no, the newspaper is a bunch of ads that were given to the editor, and I was told to put stuff around the ads. And so local news is supported by its local advertising, which makes it very dependent upon its local economy. So that's something to think about. I think other organizations are figuring out things to do to replicate what newspapers once did. I'm talking to you two. What Northern Community Radio does is really taking the place of newspapers that don't cover local issues very much anymore. There are online sites, there are bloggers like me who punch in the gaps just a little bit. But the truth is, and other organizations, MinPost, you know, and other kinds of organizations that are multimedia, not just one thing. I think there will be always a demand for information. We're in the information age. Information is premium. What we're struggling with is how do we deliver the good stuff, the stuff that costs money to make, that people want, that's accurate, that's true to the community. How do we deliver that stuff and have people make enough money to live in the process? And we're seeing a lot of reasons for why this is, but that's what the case is.
We're talking with Aaron Brown this morning. It's the Friday Morning Show on Member Supported, KEXE, KBXE, talking about media in rural small towns of Minnesota and the changes there. So we've talked about the economic aspect of these changes that have recently happened. What about journalism and what it means to not have newspapers in our small towns, or what the changes have meant so far about us and how we go about our lives in small towns?
Yeah, that I think we've noticed. I've noticed it just in the time I've been living and working as an adult in my community. The truth of the matter is that when it comes to how government and things affect your lives, nothing affects your life more than your local government. Of any government, your city council, your county board is vastly more important to your quality of life than other things. Your school board is another example of a local government that has a huge amount of impact on our lives. But when you talk about politics or government to any given person, any given day, they're probably talking about the federal government or maybe the state legislature and the governor. And while these are very important people, very important levels of government, you can argue till your face is blue about, you know, what the Supreme Court ruled yesterday, or what Congress may or may not be doing, or what the president tweeted. But most people can't name their city councilors. They can't name their county commissioners. And that's a function of the loss of coverage of those levels of government in the media that people consume. And I think that's one of the great challenges of our age, is how do we maintain our connection to our locally elected governments and our local communities and the events and people and things that are happening in our communities? Because the national media is never going to cover what's happening in Bemidji or Grand Rapids or Hibbing or Hill City or these towns of northern Minnesota. Only the local media could ever do that. And if our local media is struggling and doesn't have staff to go to meetings and talk to mayors and talk to community organizers doing things, then those events go unreported, or they go on Facebook or social media and they're, you know, spread around that way. But we've seen lots of examples where, you know, local people can make a false assumption on online and rumors get started and it gets out of hand. I mean, we've seen it in our community. Everybody listening, no matter your politics, knows what I'm talking about. That's the thing that is probably needs the most work in terms of journalism. And these local papers are still providing some of that coverage. Most of the things that get spread around are at least partially based on newspaper stories in the first place. You know, when the Mesabi Daily News and Hibbing Tribune became the Mesabi Tribune, their staff hasn't changed. They were already practically merged in terms of their news operations, sharing stories and whatnot. Now it's just formalized. And the Duluth News Tribune has also claimed that they are not reducing their staff, that they're going to continue their news operation. They're going to continue producing daily news. They just aren't producing printed newspapers every day anymore as a way to save money and to reach people where they are. So in theory and hope, these organizations figure out how to keep the actual coverage the most important part of a newspaper's journalistic mission. And I think that's then for us, the consumer of news, to think about where our sources come from and how we support them. How do we keep them going? Whether that's subscribing to the local paper as a business, advertising in a local paper, or supporting organizations, of course, like Northern Community Radio, which I'll give you a plug because this is another organization that's able to do some of that work.
You know, we're talking about what's happening right now, but what happens to sort of the history of our region when things aren't covered as much? I mean, that's so important. This will lead us into, like, the segue into Power in the Wilderness that we're debuting.
Oh, what a perfect segue. Because as you know, Heidi, and as I have often overstated, I've been researching old Hibbing for the last several years. And one of the tasks that I continue to do is to read old newspapers from 100 plus years ago and try to figure out what life was like then and what was going on politically. And I can only say that it's been a humbling experience because it is night and day different in terms of the level and depth of local coverage then versus now. Now, it's not to say that everything was great. They're biased and kind of racist, and there's all kinds of problems with some of the things. But they are covering their local government very closely. The mayor, the council members of any given town are just as important as the president or the governor in terms of their coverage. And so they get a lot of attention. And that part stood out to me. And of course, that means that, you know, 100 years from now, when our robot hybrid descendants are looking back at our time, That's a joke, I hope. Looking back at our time, they will go back and they will find, you know, whatever these thin newspapers that and you know, whatever we're supporting now is all they've got to go on in many cases. Because keep in mind, the digital world is so ethereal. A lot of social media is being archived, but a lot isn't. And actually, in terms of knowing what's going on in a given time, what you don't have much more than newspapers. So we have, from a nerdy archival point of view, a real crisis here, because even newspapers put so much online that isn't archived permanently. And things like conversations that occur online and that sort of thing, YouTube videos and those kinds of things are probably going to be lost in 30 years. You know, you can't guarantee that stuff will stick around. So that's a big issue, I think.
So Aaron, when you were researching some of these 80-year-old newspapers and things, how much of those newspapers were devoted to national news? Just very, very small percentage?
Well, there's two papers in Hibbing that I looked at closely. Both of them eventually merged to become the Hibbing Daily Tribune. There was the Hibbing Tribune and the Mesaba Orr and Hibbing News. And those two papers, the Hibbing News was a weekly, and it became a daily later briefly, and then they merged. But they were a mostly local publication. Okay. With, of course, they would talk about, you know, the presidential race was going on. So I'm reading a lot about Woodrow Wilson and Charles Evans Hughes these days, and the big race of 1916 was the race I just read about, and so. The Hibbing Daily Tribune was an early AP, Associated Press member. So their front page has a lot of national news. But it was very different then, because there was no other good source for national news. Radio wasn't yet as big as it would become. Actually, it wasn't a thing at all yet in Hibbing. And in the coverage of the national news, what was happening is that we were 50% immigrant in this region. Most people were born in foreign countries, and they were getting their news of their home countries in the Hibbing Daily Tribune. And actually, because there was censorship in Europe during World War I, families were clipping articles from the Hibbing Daily Tribune and mailing it to their family in Italy, their family in Germany, their family in, other countries in Europe and Scandinavian countries and Austria. And these people were learning about what was happening in the battlefields a few miles from their home in the Hibbing Daily Tribune clippings that were sent from their relatives that went to America. So there's this great history of the interrelationship between national and local news. But of course, since other media forms rose in the form of radio and television and now the internet, you know, people are getting their national news everywhere. You know, if you want to know what the president said today, there are many ways to find out, and some of which you can't avoid. They'll be thrust upon you. But that's not true of our local news. If you don't want to know about the Hibbing City Council or the Grand Rapids City Council and what they're doing, you don't ever have to know. And that's a troubling, the troubling thing about what's happened.
And, you know, now, I hate using all these COVID sort of phrases, right? Now more than ever.
Yeah, now more than ever.
But, you know, what you read matters, what you listen to. And I know this, the pandemic has made it all the more apparent to me, and I have started supporting the things where I'm getting information from, either with online subscriptions. You know, it used to be in the past, I was kind of grumbly if a paper charged for their online content, and I get it in a different way now, and I'm trying to do that a little bit. Why is it important for people to support, get a subscription to a paper, or, you know, support KVXE?
Yeah. And I'll certainly include you guys in the mix here, because it's just another way of getting that local information out. What it does is it pays, you know, it costs money to make the things you consume. And if you want stuff for free, you're getting stuff that is full of advertising, propaganda, or bias. It's the only stuff that's really free. If you want real information, if you want you know, for instance, if something happens in your community and all your friends don't know what happened, what was the deal with that fire down on Jenkins Street? Was it set by terrorists or was it a garage fire? Was it a alien attack? You know, what was that fire out on Jenkins Street? Well, if you want conjecture and guesses, you can go to Facebook and get that. But if you want someone to call the fire department or to go to the scene and take pictures or write up a story that might take several hours to get right, you got to pay a human being a wage to do that. Just like you wouldn't expect the clerks to ring up your purchase for free or for a landscaper to take care of your yard for free. This is a service that we count on. And so your subscription, your advertising dollars pays the salary, the meager salary of a reporter or a editor or the people who put that information out. And if you want stuff that doesn't have bias, that's accurate, that's useful, that's interesting or entrepreneurial, in other words, they're going out and finding things that you never would have thought of, you've got to pay professionals to do that. And that means subscribe. That means be a member. That means don't complain about the paywall. Just pay the money if you can afford it. And that makes a huge difference.
Okay, Aaron, before we go, tell us what we can look forward to in the second installment of Power in the Wilderness.
Yeah, we just turned in the final cut yesterday. Carl, Jacob, and I have been working on this podcast, it's an episodic 10-episode story set in early 1900s Hibbing, Minnesota, based around Mayor Victor Power, the fighting mayor, fighting Vic, the little giant of Hibbing. And he is, as we learned early, he was a blacksmith's assistant who became a lawyer. And in this episode, the second episode, we find out about his family more, some of the motivations, the ambition that drove the Power family. And then we learn how Vic took on the biggest corporation in the world. And he has his first major conflict with U.S. Steel. And at the time, the first and only billion-dollar corporation. Now, of course, they're everywhere. But at the time, U.S. Steel was so enormous that it was unprecedented and uncertain how they could rule the world, essentially, it seemed. And Vic Power gets in this scrape with them right here in northern Minnesota, in Hibbing, Minnesota. And that's, I think, going to be very interesting. We've got a car chase. We've got explosions and animals attacking humans in this episode.
Holy smokes.
Do you do the sound effects? The pew and all that?
No. This is where it differs from my old Great Northern Radio Show days. We actually, we do have sound effects. We do have Foley sound, but it's real sounds that we mix together. Carl's a filmmaker, so it's movie quality sound and various wonderful music. Carl's been mixing he's the editor, and he's been mixing these wonderful old songs and these sounds, and the vibe of old Hibbing is all part of the story.
So when can people hear it?
11 o'clock Sunday morning, right here on Northern Community Radio, or streaming at kaxe.org. And then, of course, it'll be available on the website. And eventually, soon, we hope to launch our podcast feed. There have been a few administrative delays with our, some of the podcast services that we're working on. But we're going to do a big launch for the podcast feed as well quite soon. So you'll be able to listen on your devices, on the NPR News app, or on wherever you listen to podcasts. That'll be coming soon.
11 o'clock this Sunday, second installment of Power in the Wilderness. That's Aaron Brown. You can read about life and politics on the Iron Range at his blog, MinnesotaBrown.com. You have a driver in the family now, is that correct?
We have a driver trainee. Oh. Henry is driving, and I've only almost vomited my heart once in the training process, and so I'll call that a win.
Are you calm?
I think I'm calm. I think I'll put it this way. I'm the calmest person he could get out of this family. And I do the best I can. It is a different experience, though. I remember you take home this little baby from the hospital, and you don't think, like, one day I'm going to be sitting in the passenger seat and this baby is going to be driving my car. And you don't think about things like this until they happen.
Aaron, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
See ya.